this morning to Dr. Randy King.
Thank you, Pastor. Wow, am I glad to be here. I love being at First Baptist here in Rosemont. I'm reminded, I pastored, and when you're pastoring a church, you have the responsibility to declare the whole counsel of God. You got to teach the people on creation and prophecy, on prayer and forgiveness, on salvation and child rearing, tithing. Did I mention tithing? And a guest speaker comes in, and ordinarily they're for a family conference or they're for missions, and I'm keenly aware that there's lots in the Bible beside just missions, but that's the theme for today. And wow, if you can only come to one service, tonight would be the one to come to. We're going to use some victims, I call them volunteers, today. But I need, is it Scott? Come on up here. Even the worst of us can be used as a bad example. And Brother Steve, if you could come. And wow, I want to tell you a story, and I want to just have your undivided attention for a few minutes here. This you live here. Brother Steve, you live over here. Now, this, you guys call him Steve, but that's not his real name. His real name is the Apostle John. And the Apostle John is out doing apostle business, and he comes over and he meets this young man. And wow, he seems like a nice kid. And so he takes the Bible and leads him to Christ. Pray. He's saved. Isn't that wonderful? So, wow. He stays here, disciples him, loves on him, teaches him everything he can, but he's got to go on back where he lives and do apostle business over here. And this young guy, wow, he's sincere as can be, loves the Lord, so happy in the Lord, and he joins a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, and he's serving the Lord there and happy as a clam, and man, it's exciting. And then he hears about missionaries. So, Brother Ryan, if you and your wife would come, missionaries coming through, and he just was so twinkle-dusted with this whole idea, man, real live missionaries. Why, they sold their possessions, they sold their household goods, and moved to a foreign country, and there they're proclaiming the gospel so the heathen could be converted, and they're going to get saved. And now they're back passing through, and he invites them to come to his house. And can I tell you how excited he is? He just moves out in the doghouse. He gives them the best bed in the house. He feeds them a big meal. He stays up until 11 o'clock finding out about their burden and their calling and their challenges and their successes and their vision for the future, and he has prayer with them. Man, at midnight, he's still excited, full of adrenaline, real, live missionaries right here in my house. And wow, he goes to bed. In the morning, he gets up, fixes them a big breakfast. He's so excited that, wow, he got a chance to help missionaries. And they, of course, are honored to have been with him. He treated them like royalty. He just was so thankful. He packed a big lunch for them to get on the road. He gave them 2 gas cards to put gas in their camels, and they're off, and they go on their way. And as they're out and about, they come by the Apostle John. And the Apostle John says, "Hey, how's it going out there?" And they say, "Wow, I'll tell you what, it's a jungle. We were in Baptist churches, and we don't mind the snakes, but don't make us go to the Baptist. But wow, we had a great time at this one young guy's house. You probably don't even know him, but his name is Gaius. And Gaius treated us like royalty. He couldn't do enough for us. He prayed with us. He entered into our labors. He gave us a gift, and it was so exciting to be with him. If it was that way everywhere, boy, this would be a breeze. And John says, oh, I know him. Man, that's wonderful that he's serving the Lord. I love that kind of report. And so they go on back to the mission field. Now, so far so good. Everybody's happy and wow. But this young guy, Gaius, while he's just thrilled with this, he has a pastor who's a micromanager, a control freak. He's insecure. He thinks he's the source of all human knowledge. He's the chief cook and bottle washer. He tells everybody, hey, I'm the only one around here that does the thinking. And so you say, wow, that sounds like a rotten pastor. What does that look like? Well, Troy, come on up here. Right, I'm from the Matt Dillon era. The good guys wore the white hats, the bad guys had the black outfits, right? So this, somebody's got to be the bad guy. Now, he goes and tells his pastor, wow, you wouldn't believe it. We had missionaries, they were some of the, and the their dedication and their sacrifice and their vision, it was just so inspiring. And the pastor says, I didn't give you permission to talk to them. I don't want them through here. I don't want you to give a thin dime to those people. I'm the pillar and ground of the truth. I'm the source of all spiritual knowledge. You look to me, and I'll tell you what, if you don't, I'm kicking you out of our church. Now, here's a very sincere layman who believes he was doing the work of God Almighty, supporting missionaries. But he has a pastor who forbids him to do it. Now, is that a problem? Yes, it's a problem. And so who does Gaius know that he could possibly get advice from in this circumstance? Hey, wait. Work with me here.
Okay.
Right? He has a relationship with the Apostle John, doesn't he? And so he writes a letter to the Apostle John, and he explains the circumstance and says, should I help these missionaries are not. My pastor says I'm not supposed to. He writes to John, you don't have that letter. But what you do have is the letter back to him. There's only one place in the Bible where an apostle writes to a layman. Only one place, and that's in the third epistle of John, way back by Revelation. If you could turn there, that's where we're going to spend some time today. Now, what's a guy to do? What's a guy to do? Hey, should I follow my pastor or follow my heart here? Do you think it's right for me to support missions or not? See, hear me for a moment, folks. If you can't find 3 John, it's on page 270 in my Bible. Hear me carefully. There's 3 institutions. God established the home, civil government, and the church. And most of the time, there's good guys in the home, but you know, once in a while, there's a dad who doesn't really earn the title. Civil government's from God, but once in a while, you run into a Nebuchadnezzar, right? And pastors are from God, but once in a while there's a stinker. I'd like to tell you they're all right, but wow. This is the only place in the Bible where we have a clear example of a rotten pastor. But you know, what's more important here today for the theme of missions is, hey, why is this so important? Imagine that Paul writes to the churches of Galatia, he writes to Philippi, Peter says, you know, to the churches, Hebrews, to the 12 tribes scattered. But here you have an apostle writing to a layman. It ought to make your antenna go up. Wow, this isn't to Philemon. This isn't to Titus and Timothy. This is just to a regular guy. The elder, that's John, unto the well-beloved Gaius, verse 1, whom I love in the truth. Notice, beloved, I wish above all things, verse 2, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Verse 3, for I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now listen, this isn't one of his children. This is one of his disciples. But he said, how wonderful. The first four verses, it's just, I love you, God bless you, a salutation, hey, what a blessing to get a good report on you. But verses 5 through 8 are the mission verses. Look what it says, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers of the truth. Look carefully at verse 5. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren, that is those that are in the church, and to strangers, that is those who are traveling through. Is he condemning him or is he commending him? He's commending him, isn't he? Brother, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Watch the admonition. Whom if thou, and here's the phrase, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt what? What's the last two words? Thou shalt do well. What's he saying? Hey, it's right for you to help the ones that you bring forward on their journey. Don't ever treat a missionary like there's some kind of excess baggage, that there's some kind of hobos at the railroad yard, that there's some kind of second-class citizen, that there's somebody, well, they couldn't get a decent job, so now they're just our missionaries. That is ungodly, that's wicked, that's disrespectful. The people I know that are missionaries, if far and away, the vast majority of them were godly, hardworking, serving in their church, soul-winning Christians, teaching, ministering, and giving to missions themselves. And then God reached in and said, I want you to go. I want you to take the gospel to this area, to these people. And every missionary I know, they say, boy, I tell you what, I'm passionate for reaching the lost, but it sure is hard asking anybody for money because they've never asked for money. They've never asked for a thin dime. They're not beggars. They were people that were faithful serving God, and give them the respect due their name. It's God's plan that they be supported through a local church to do the work God's called them to do. But don't act as if you don't need them. Our frontline soldiers, for every one in the front lines, there's four behind them making bullets, making bombs, making tanks, making food. Somebody's got to support the frontline troops. Somebody's got to print the Bible. Somebody's got to send their support. He says in verse 5 and 6, it says, you do faithfully whatsoever you do to the brethren, to strangers. They've borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. At Wildwood, we passed a vote of our church that every missionary who came through, we gave them $200 not to talk. Just if they walked in our doors. We at least want to give them enough gas to get to the next town. Hey, listen, they're our champions. They're the ones we send out in front of us. They're the ones that we're proud of. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll bring, send forth laborers into his harvest. Hey, these are our champions. We want to bring them forward on their journey. Remember that phrase, bring them forward. If you do that, you do well. Verse 6 and 7 and 8 are the explanations. Watch what it says. Because that, for his name's sake, whose name's sake? Jesus' sake. For his name's sake, they went forth. Look what it says. Taking nothing of the Gentiles. You know what that's? Read between the lines. Don't expect your lost Lutheran dentist to get behind our mission projects. Don't expect your lost Episcopalian doctor to really have a burden for what we're doing. The last Roman Catholic, he might be the nicest dry cleaner in the world. But it says they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. That's the unbelievers. Why? They don't see things the way that we do. The lost, helpless, dying, condemned, without hope, without God, needing the gospel with a desperation of eternity in hell waiting them if somebody doesn't reach them. But for his name's sake, those missionaries went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. Verse 8, we therefore, us, hey, Gaius, our kind of guys, we therefore ought to, what's the phrase? Receive such. Why? That we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Here, church, this is an aside, okay? I'm aside over here. Look, they're going to be supported by our kind of people. These missionaries, when they go forth, we ought to receive them, do anything we can for them, be hospitable, be helpful, be supportive, give them our prayers, give them our love. Why? Because they need to know that they're surrounded in a team effort, that they're not out there hung out to dry by themselves. And hear me, this scripture, you say, wow, look at this. We're supposed to receive them when they come to us. We're supposed to bring them forward on their journey. He does it faithfully. They're going to need support this month and next month and the next month. And he's writing to Gaius, the layman, and says, we get to be fellow helpers to the truth. This is a team effort. Wonderful, wonderful passage here. But it begs a question. Why would the apostle write to a layman? What about the chain of command? What about the authority of the church? What about the role of the pastor? What about, hey, How come he wrote to a layman? Well, the next verse says, I wrote unto the church. Look at verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, this guy is so proud he can strut sitting down. He loves to have the preeminence among us. I wrote to the church. But Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, look what it says, receiveth us not. Can I say, you got to be some kind of proud to put yourself above the apostle's word. No pastor is above the Bible. Nobody's above the revealed will of God. I don't care. He can think he's everything in a bowl of cherries, but if he doesn't have a heart for missions, he's out of the will of God Almighty. Look what it says. Wherefore, verse 10, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would receive the brethren, that is, and casteth them out of the church. You say, how do you know he's the pastor? Well, I don't know. Who answers your church mail? I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes. He wouldn't receive them himself. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would. Do you know anybody who would? I know somebody who would. And forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Look at that verse 10 at the beginning. Wherefore, if I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth. You know, can you imagine the Apostle John saying, hey, when I come through that area, I'm going to tend to that guy. There's a song we sing, God will take care of you in all the way. Oh, right? That song has a complete different meaning if you're Diotrephes. God will take care of you. Think God's got a hammer big enough for this guy? Huh? The apostle says, look, if I come, I'll remember his deeds, his prating against us with malicious words. How dare he? How dare he oppose the word of an apostle? What's the apostle say? We ought to receive such. We ought to bring them forward on their journey. We ought to be fellow helpers to the truth. That's what it says. And the very issue, you can show a rotten pastor because he ran off with the secretary. You can show a rotten pastor because he's lazy. You can show a rotten pastor who committed adultery. You can show a rotten pastor. But in this case, the one case of a rotten pastor in the Bible, you know what the issue is? Whether or not he receives missionaries and helps them get to where they're going. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? His name's only here in the Bible. How'd you like to have your Bible, your name appear in the Bible once and have it be here? I come, I'll remember his deeds which he doeth. But so far, the honest truth is, a fair reading of your passage, it hasn't told this guy what to do yet. This is very, very, very important. This entire book, written, preserved in your lap for you to read. See, missionaries, you understand, they come through and they tell a sad story, or they show pictures of a wheat field, or a little boy with a muddy face, or, and your emotions and your heart is touched. But being human, you're going to forget the name of that missionary. You're going to forget the name of that mission field. You're not going to, oh, what was it they were trying to raise? Was that for a building or an orphanage or what were they trying to do? But you know what? You're still going to have that Bible in your lap that's going to say the exact same thing next week, next month, next year. And what you do for good and for God and for missions ought to have a Bible foundation. I'm glad it stirs your heart, but you ought to know what I'm doing is biblical. What I'm doing is right. What I'm doing is what God commanded me to do, what I'm admonished to do. So he says, hey, I wrote to the church, Gaius, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would. When I come, I'm going to remember what he did. Did you notice? He did not tell Gaius to raise up one finger against his pastor. Right? An apostle writing to a layman. And the truth is, so far, except to commend him in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8, he hasn't given him any advice yet at all. What's a guy to do? But verse 11 does. Here's what we get to. Beloved, follow, what's that next word? Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Don't give God a black eye over this. Everybody I know, well, you know, we had a pastor who, hey, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Don't give God the blame for that. Rotten judges soil all judges. Rotten policemen soil all policemen. And rotten pastors give people an excuse to disrespect or disobey what their pastor says. Yes, there's rotten ones. Did you ever see a counterfeit $7 bill? No, you didn't. You know why? Because there's no real ones. When you see counterfeit Christianity, you know what that proves for sure? There's a real one someplace. They're imitating something. It's real with me. I don't have a different agenda. There's lots of good pastors doing lots of good stuff. Don't let your knowledge of some failed guy. It says, he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Whatever you do, don't blame God for this. There's plenty of guilt to go around here. But look carefully at the beginning of that verse. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Isn't this something? You look at all of God's institutions when the king says to Vashti, come in and do this and that. She says, I can't do that. But she doesn't overthrow the husband. She suffers being banished. When Daniel was told, you have to pray or go to the lion's den, the three Hebrew children, Peter in Acts 5, hey, don't preach in that name anymore. He says, I have to obey God rather than man, right? There comes a time when those in authority over you are wrong. And when that happens, Nobody in Bible times did they rebel against the authority. They just suffered the consequence. So it wouldn't shock you. Why? Because sheep, see, the shepherd, the under-shepherd to the flock, the sheep don't get together and kick him out. The sheep have a choice to follow or not to follow. And it says, beloved, follow not that which is evil. I'm sorry. You had an experience. Your first pastor was kind of like the west end of a horse going east. It that's too bad. But you know what the man of God's told? You can't follow that. You can't follow that. He's not told, spread gossip. He's not told, get a committee. He's not told, sow discord. You know what he's told? Don't follow. Don't follow. It says, he that doeth, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Hear me? The same verse that says you can't follow that says, find a pastor you can follow. Follow that which is good. Why? Why? Because sheep, not having a shepherd, are scattered. And God's either called you to pastor or he's called you to help a pastor. That's all there is. Either you're going to lead or you're going to support the guy who is leading. Sheep need a shepherd. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Why? He needs a pastor. He needs somebody to exhibit leadership. He needs someone to exude confidence. He needs somebody who will lead and admonish him in a godly way. Beloved, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. The brethren came and testified of the truth that's in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to brethren and to strangers. We ought to bring them forward on their journey. We ought to receive such that we could be fellow helpers to the truth. Why? Because this is not about his petty agenda. This is about God's agenda. This is about the work of God Almighty. This is about something a lot bigger than one personality. This is about God getting the gospel around the world. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. You know what it's saying? You got to find a good pastor and get in there pitching and support what he's trying to do. Would it shock you? The only verse of advice is in verse 11 and is crowned with verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. You know what he's saying? There's a pastor out here that you can follow, and look at the qualifications. It's just like you're reading Timothy and Titus, the pastoral epistles. It's like you're reading the qualifications for a pastor. Lover of good men, given to hospitality, no striker, not soon angry. A lover of hospitality, a lover of good men. See what it says here? It says, Demetrius hath good report of all men. Do you think it's important for a pastor to have a good reputation in the community, that he pays his bills, that he's not chasing somebody else's wife, that he tries his best to help the neighbor, to maintain good works, to be a good testimony? Yes! Demetrius hath good report of all men. It's important both within the church and within the community among the lost that a pastor have a good testimony. But that's not enough. There are a lot of good men. But is it important to you, you think, to have doctrinal fidelity, to be sound in doctrine, to teach the Bible truthfully, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept? He hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Good pastors make a big deal out of the Bible. Because you're not man worshipers, you're not following a human being. Thus saith the Lord. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And then John the apostle knows him. And he says, and we also bear record, and you know that our record's true. You know what he's saying? Here's a guy I can recommend to you. It's too bad for that. If I come, I'll deal with that. This, Gaius, this is above your pay grade, but it's not going to go unchallenged. God's going to deal with this. But a layman needs a pastor. And he says, you know, I know the issue's been, should you help the missionaries? It's right to bring them forward. We ought to receive such. We ought to be fellow helpers to the truth. And the brethren came and testified of the truth that's in you. What a joy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. But I'm passing off the scene, and I don't live where you live. And you're going to need a good pastor. And Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. And we also bear record. You know our record's true. You say, what about the rest of the book? It doesn't say anything. Kiss everybody. Goodbye. Hope to see you again. I paraphrased. Why do you suppose you have the epistle of 3 John in your lap? Why do you suppose? It says the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. God preserve that. It's too bad. I'm sorry. I wished I could tell you there was no rotten Troys out there or whatever his name is. But for everyone like that, there's 10 good pastors that are doing it right, encouraging you to do the right thing, who are promoting, let's win the lost in our community, let's support missionaries around the world, let's treat them with dignity and respect and love and appreciation, let's do all we can for them. And you guys can go, thank you so much. I don't like it when handsome guys are up here because I feel so threatened. I was safe with these guys. Listen, I can't tell you how much I believe every syllable of what I've just showed you. God had a reason for saving that in the scriptures for all of us. And he's got a reason for you to be here. And my challenge, I'm done, but here's the choice you get to make. Do I have a Diotrephes for a pastor or a Demetrius? Does my pastor resemble the control freak, micromanager, insecure, who's trying to manipulate everything I do? Or do I have a pastor who is trying to promote God's agenda, reaching the lost around the world, supporting missions? See, what I want you to read is the word follow. Beloved, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but by implication, follow that which is good. So a pastor stands up. He's got a huge responsibility to declare the whole counsel of God, but he says, we're going to take a month and we're going to honor missionaries. We're going to emphasize missions. We're going to promote missions. We're going to do our very best to keep that balloon bouncing in front of our people. We're trying to get the gospel around the world. Now, when you have a Demetrius, then what you're supposed to do is follow that lead. Hear what he says. Follow his direction. Be inspired by his example. Hear his challenges. Follow that which is good, folks. We're not trying to hurt you. You have a devil that says, do less for God. You have a flesh that says, do less for God. You have a world that says, do less for God. And then you have a Demetrius that stands up and says, let's do more for God. Let's do more for God. How that fleshes out in the details of your life, in the amount you put on a faith promise card, in the trip you take to the field, in the prayers you offer for a missionary, that's between you and God Almighty. But you know what the best thing I can do is? This is what the Bible says. Follow a pastor who resembles Demetrius. Heads bowed and eyes closed, please, today. You're here and you say, Pastor, thank you for being true to the scriptures and fair to what it says. It just shows it plainly there. And today, I'm mighty glad for my pastor who's trying to promote the work of God and the saving of souls here and around the world. I'm mighty glad that we have a Demetrius. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? I'm glad our pastor is not promoting his little thing, but God's purposes. God bless you. God bless you. Hands all over the house. You're here today, and I ask you this. Could you ask God to guide you on how you could receive such and how you could bring them forward on their journey? They've been called to do something. How could you help them get there? How could you help them do it? How could you help them? Could you pray and ask God, Lord, help me to be involved for the first time? Or Lord, increase my ability? Or Lord, show me a special avenue that I can do above and beyond what I ever imagined. But what the pastor's trying to promote here, I'm in on. He can count on me. I'm going to have a part as he promotes missions this month of October. Would you just slip your hand up? He can count on me. I'm going to have a part in what he's trying to get us to do. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you. May put it down. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands, and Lord, you know the hearts. And Lord, thank you for putting this right here in our Bible. It's seldom mentioned, seldom noticed, but if you wrote it to Gaius, would a gal here named Emily see it as a letter to her? Would a guy here named Jerry or Tom or Fred see that it's written to him? Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Thank you for a pastor that's trying to get us to do good. Lord, would you guide these sweet folks? I know it's a good church. I know they love missions. Help them do more as never before. Now, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask everyone just standing together with me, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed. And I'm going to ask pastor to find a place down at the floor, and we're going to extend an invitation. But maybe you told him this last week or last month, but if it's been a while since you said to the pastor, hey, you can count on me, I'm in on this. I believe what you're trying to get us to do is of God. Thank you for being my Demetrius. Thank you for being a pastor that keeps us in front of our church. Would you take his hand and just thank him and say, you can count on me. I'm in on this. I'll do what God enables me to do for the ministry here at First Baptist. As the pianist plays, would you just step out and join these that are coming? Maybe you told them that last week. That's fine, but maybe it's been a while. Pastor, thank you for being a Demetrius. You can count on me. Thank you for what you're trying to get us to do. I'm for this. I believe what you're trying to get us to do is of God. It's of God.